Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Hello there. My name is Bartholomew J. Fancy Cat, but humans have taken to calling me Sprinkles. I am a feline of discerning taste and luxury, and I demand the very best, and I want it delivered to my door. Meowbox is a subscription service that caters to felines like myself and gives us all sorts of new treats to try, toys that entertain, and even helps fellow animals in rescue shelters. They even personalize it for your cat's name. They still insist on calling me Sprinkles, however. What are you waiting for, human? Promo code GEEK10 and get 10% off your first subscription at meowbox.com. Now go visit meowbox.com for more information and tell them Sprinkles sent you.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back.
GEICO presents yet another voicemail from your roommate.
So, about the kitchen. Turns out, when there's a grease fire, you're not supposed to throw water on it. Who would have known, right? Anyways, the fire department is here, and it's totally cool. Give me a call back when you get a chance.
The GEICO Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if danger is your roommate's middle name. Visit GEICO.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Welcome to This Week in Geek. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, and I am not alone as I journey across the narrow sea to Westeros. And I am joined with my faithful companions on this epic trip. I am joined with...
Andrew Randrew Roebuck.
Oh, that was such a cool intro. Screw you, Andrew. My name is Tiffany Fonsolo Compton from TheNerdHearth.com.
And we also have joining us... Ryan dropped out, so I had to dial him back in.
Oh, well, I'm back now.
Dothraki Horse Lord. Like in Game of Thrones, one of the hosts will die by the end of this podcast.
Oh my God.
That's actually really clever.
I don't like your odds.
I know, it's going to be me.
I love it. So if you guys can't guess, we're going to be talking about Game of Thrones for the topic show this month. And you might be wondering why it's a little bit late. We wanted to get a little...
6 years late.
Well, we wanted to get a little into Season 6, which just started on HBO back on the 24th of April. So we're 3 episodes in. However, we will not be spoiling the latest episode because Tiffany has not seen it. So, but everything else is fair game, just so you are all aware.
I can't believe Ned Stark came back.
As a zombie. It'll be amazing.
No, it's Walking Dead.
Which, Fear the Walking Dead, I think I just kind of gave up on.
Sean being cameoed on The Walking Dead, that'd be amazing.
I can't believe Gus Fring came back. Oh, that's Better Call Saul, right?
outside of that, I'm trying to think here what else to kind of catch you guys up on. So like I said, we are going to be talking about Game of Thrones this month. So big thank you to HBO Canada for helping provide me with the Blu-rays for this show.
Oh,
Yeah, well, wow. Well, no. Jesus, thanks.
He rakes in the big bucks.
Yeah, not to mention I've been bugging you to watch it for 6 years. Well, finally they're like, oh.
Well, when they sent me the first season over Christmas time so I could put it into my gift guide, I didn't expect it to take me as hard as it did. Me and Blair went through the entire series over the course of like 2.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And like multiple hours a day. It was unbelievable how quickly we went through it.
Yeah, who would have thought something I recommended would be good? Like every well, other time I recommend you stuff.
I didn't expect it to I didn't expect it to be television cocaine. That's what I didn't expect out of it. Like it I really can't think of another show where I've power watched it outside of maybe Breaking Bad. Honestly, where I just sat there for like hours upon hours at a time. Also have to thank Green Ronin. They supplied me with the role-playing games for Game of Thrones, which will be happening on Terrible Warriors later on this summer, either Game Master by Tiffany or myself. Ooh. Potentially both. Who knows? Maybe I'll have a long-form campaign this year.
So much carnage. Sorry.
It'll be fun. It'll be really cool. So, yeah, big thanks to Nicole and Chris over there for helping us out. And, yeah, so as you guys heard off the top there, please visit our sponsor of meowbox.com. And if you guys want a bit of an update on Dr. Wily, it has been a couple of weeks since he had his last seizure. Fortunately, he hasn't had one since. So he goes back in for blood work in a couple of more weeks. Hopefully it's nothing. We're going to find out if it's just epilepsy or potentially something worse. We're really hoping for the best here. Actually, kind of a side note to that, I joined one of those exchanges on Reddit where they have one of those gift exchanges. And my Reddit exchange for pets turned out to be a cat neurologist.
Oh my gosh.
So I literally could not have hit the jackpot more. So she's asking me questions about Dr. Wily, and she's going to talk to her doctor.
This marks the first time anyone ever hit the jackpot on Reddit.
No, that's not
some nice things off there.
The gift exchange can go pretty well, right?
That's true. I mean, if you like racism, it is a great place.
It's actually...
Damn. Sounds like someone's had a bad experience. Last time I did the Reddit gift exchange, I got a book that said, I think it was 101 recipes with bacon. And I was like, this is a good book.
Yeah, see? Ryan, you should stop hanging out on the white supremacy subreddit.
at least Tiffany finally listed a book you might finish.
Oh.
Damn!
Man, shots fired all across things. So I guess let's kind of go around the room and see what everybody's been doing over the last little while. Ryan, we're going to start with you.
I have apparently been making sick burns. Anyway. Let's see. How about nothing? I never have anything done. My baseball fantasy team is 0-2 tonight. That's terrible. Let's see. Somebody insert crickets chirping.
Cricket,
I don't know.
I'm a cricket chirp chirp. Well, I'm a cricket.
Well, quite possibly your best impression I've ever heard. Anywho, I mean, I've seen Civil War twice, which I really enjoyed. I went to an early screening of that and then went back again on the weekend with some dude. And that was really fun.
You get to go see X-Men tomorrow, which you're not looking forward to.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. I can say stuff like that and still have an open mind about it, so I'm not worried about going into it kind of with my mind made up or anything like that, but I haven't heard good things, we'll say, which is really disappointing.
And then next we got Andrew, who's going to be joining Terrible Warriors for the first time in probably about a week or so.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? I'm looking forward to it.
That's horrible. Don't work in Bubsy quotes. God damn it, you.
I'm working on branding, guys, okay? Bubsy. I gotta be the Bubsy guy. Anyway.
Why don't you talk about how much you hate Mondays?
I will talk about how pretty much most of my life is work and being tortured by Ryan at work. He says some embarrassing things occasionally.
We have nothing but fun. You lie.
Good-natured, wholesome fun, right?
He says with the gun to my head, we have nothing but fun.
And Tiffany, what have you been doing since we last hung out with you? Because you were on Terrible Warriors for Star Wars Embers of the Jedi, but
That unfortunately did not get to do the finale, which is kind of lame, admittedly, but we're going to explain away why the fact my character wasn't there. Because, like Andrew, I have also been working my fucking ass off.
However, though, exciting news, and this is exclusive for people that are listening to us and Terrible Warriors. Ooh. Tiffany will be taking over Embers of the Jedi for the summertime.
My first DM, Jim. So, I'm so excited.
I'm really looking forward to see what Tiffany brings to the Star Wars universe, and then we're going to keep this train rolling right into Rogue One, so...
Can I roleplay as the corpse of Han Solo?
I will murder your face.
Oh, jeez. Hey, Roebuck, how about you roleplay as the klaxon from the Rogue One trailer? It sounds like a velociraptor sitting on a log.
How oddly specific.
Can we talk about, for 2 seconds, how accurate the Mon Mothma... person is, like, the actress playing Mon Mothma.
It's impressive.
So much like the original.
Yeah, like, she was actually from a Revenge of the Sith deleted scene. I'm surprised I found someone who looked just like her. Yeah, so she's in canon, so that's
like, it was a good trailer. Cool. It was a really good trailer. I'm actually really impressed and looking forward to it.
It looks like the only Star thing Wars expanded universe.
Again, the only thing that makes me sad is that damn klaxon, though. It's so bad. I can't believe... I'm glad I wasn't the only person, because in the theater when it played before Captain America, both times, and keep in mind, one of these was a critic screening, everybody started laughing.
I didn't think it was that bad.
I don't think a red alert klaxon is supposed to have that effect.
Oh, look, we're going to die. Ah, ha, ha. No.
But it sounds so funny.
All right, so I guess let's kind of get things rolling here. So we're going to be talking about HBO's Game of Thrones. This is a show, as Ryan mentioned, took me 6 years to get into. I'm regretting... Actually, you know, I'm actually kind of not. The fact that I could binge watch this over such a short amount of time was actually kind of fun. It actually was a nice little bit because me and Blair were both really sick during that time. So it was kind of a fun experience, but I guess let's start off with Ryan, because I know you've been into this series for the longest. How did you discover this?
I have? Well, I guess, Andrew, you were like, what, 4 when the first book came out?
Damn.
I'm not joking. I'm not trying to make fun of him. I'm just saying.
I was 5. Thank you.
Okay,
very much.
No, I'm not trying to make fun of you for once. I'm just saying, like, this series started forever ago.
Yeah, it was in like the late 80s, early 90s.
No, it was 96. Game of Thrones was the first book. It came out in 1996. The series is called A Song of Ice and Fire, by the way. So, I mean, the book series is not called Game of Thrones. That was just the name of the first book. For whatever reason, the TV show decided to run with that as the name of it. Anyway. As for how I got into it, I mean, I eventually worked at Chapters, but it was just back in when I moved into Ottawa. So I actually started reading it in 98, not 96. By 98, the second book was out. But anyway, I just had friends that were into fantasy. I'm not a huge fantasy reader. I'm more of a science fiction guy. But they finally got me to read it, and I definitely got into the series. There's a handful of fantasy series I really like, and it's one of them. And just, I don't know, it was different, especially at the time. Fantasy wasn't anywhere near what it would become. Lord of the Rings hadn't come out in theaters, and there wasn't a whole lot of books out or anything else. Sorry, new books coming out. Obviously, you know, the classics still existed. But yeah, it was just different from a lot of other things. At the time, and this is going to sound like a terrible joke, I'm not trying to be funny. At the time, they were coming out fairly consistently. I mean, the books. That would not last long. But, I mean, at the time they were. And so it was kind of nice that you could finish one, and they're long books. So you could kind of finish one and then go into the other one. And yeah,
unless you binge books like I do.
Yeah,
because I finished, I'm not gonna lie, I finished A Feast for Crows in like 6 days, I think, because I did nothing but read that book.
Interesting. The books have, I like the books a lot, let me preface this with that, but they're very up and down. Game of Thrones was very good. Clash of Kings was solid. Storm of Swords is one of my favorites of the bunch. Feast for Crows was... Oh, dear.
Disagree.
And then... Really?
I do disagree.
Wow. All right, we're going to have to argue with that later. Dance with Dragons was kind of back on track, but I mean, my biggest issue with A Feast for Crows, hell with it, I'll get into it now, is too many point of view chapters with people whose viewpoints are not especially pertinent to that portion of the story.
But that's why I think it's so good. I actually enjoy that.
As well as very one note.
I don't think they're one note. I disagree with that.
No, I think in the scenes and in the feelings conveyed, they were all one note. I really didn't care about getting into Cersei's head repeatedly, for example.
Oh, see? Because I actually really like that.
Same!
I already know the character. I mean, it dragged.
Okay, but you can't deny that, like, she changes a fuck ton throughout the series of books.
It's true.
Like, her thought processes change from book to book. You can tell that there's character development. She might be, like, set in her ways and shit, but she definitely changes.
She does. I just question the relevance of just having so many. There's 12 chapters from her viewpoint.
Yeah.
That's great at least chapters. 3 or 4, 2 months. Many.
She is one of my favorite characters, so I quite enjoy those chapters.
Interesting. I will only continue on by saying, like, you were heavily in the minority on that one.
Okay, yes.
I don't know, man.
It's the worst review to the bad.
Every argument with Ryan eventually goes to, you're in the minority.
No, it frequently goes to me being in the minority, and I'm okay with it.
I feel like more than the books, the television series made me like characters like Cersei and specifically Jaime more than I did, more than I think I should have because of what they've done in the past, especially with Jaime in the show. Because, I mean, he tries to kill Bran, for one, and all the shit that he does behind everyone's back, like, you know, screwing his sister and fathering illegitimate bastards and stuff. But then, like, you get these really sweet scenes between him and Brienne, and it's like, how do I like you now?
See, I think the books actually do a little bit better with humanizing Jaime in particular, because in the book that Ryan hates, just kidding, Ryan, don't get defensive, they have him as a point of view character, and he is, for the most part, away from Cersei and starts to realize that it's a little bit of a toxic relationship. Mm-hmm. And he, while he's hanging
out. Yeah, who'd have thought banging your sister was bad?
Well, anyways, it was a revelation to him.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. I mean, the Targaryens, you know, they wed brother and sister for fucking generations, so.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, look how they turned out.
He gave
us the Mad King and Viserys, who was a
and, you know, the bombshell known as Daenerys, but, you know, whatever.
And dragons.
Tip or tat, apparently.
Yeah, that's
and dragons, good. Exactly.
I don't think Daenerys cancels out multiple generations of fucksticks.
No, she does. She's gorgeous. She does.
I don't know. The show is just a lot more focused, and Andrew, you and I argue about this. It's focused in terms of, I've never felt like the books made the White Walkers a credible threat, whereas in the show, they're very much sort of a central theme.
I would argue that Hardhome was the first time in the show that they were a credible threat.
I don't think it was a world, like, crushing world. Like,
yeah, that was really good, but I would argue, like, that is referenced in the books, but it hasn't really gotten dug into.
No,
yet,
I'd also argue. Right? I would have argued too the earlier scenes, though, where a single walker is able to eliminate a number of the people along the wall before Jon obviously learns, you know, they're vulnerable to Valyrian steel. I'd argue like that was, and we're talking about the show. I'd argue that was at least built them up a little bit.
Yeah, but like season one of the show ends with, I think it's season one, where Sam stares at an army walking by, and that army just doesn't do shit.
Well, that's my issue with the books, isn't it? Because, I mean, the army has not done anything, period, in 5 books.
No, because they haven't actually seen the army yet.
Yeah, like, I know.
It's just
that's my point, though. I mean, he could have had even just a bit with them, I think, to establish them a little better. I'm not saying the books are terrible or anything. My point is just I feel like the show. Now, having said that, I mean, there's so much stuff that the book has done better. I mean, it's a deeper book overall, or sorry, deeper book, deeper story and deeper characterization overall. The issue with the show, though, is they've had to cut out so much stuff. Some of it good. I mean, there's a lot of extraneous stuff in the books. Martin desperately could use about 12 editors, not just James S.A. Corey and everybody else who's now gone on to start their own series, but it's the same sort of Tolkien. You know, I love Tolkien, but oh man, there's so much stuff you could have pared down in extraneous detail.
See, because I love all that extraneous detail. I always really dig into that stuff, but
that's the thing, though. Like they could have they could have easily cut some things from the show and added the other things that they left out. I'm trying to think of an example, but I have an example of something besides that. So let's talk about Bronn for a second. I feel like Bronn is to Game of Thrones as Daryl Dixon is to Walking Dead, besides the fact that Daryl Dixon did not exist in the comics. But Bronn stayed in the show far longer than he did in the books.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I actually do not have a problem with, because Bronn is a genuinely good character.
Does he stay alive or does he die?
Holy,
he just goes away.
He's alive in the books.
He just gets married and goes away.
Yeah, he gets married. He has a kid who he names Tyrion and then just kind of goes off. He's not a main character or anything.
Do you remember the, he stays, like when Jaime goes to find him, that's where he goes, like in the book, right? Like he just goes off to that castle.
Oh yeah, with Lawless.
Lawless. Yeah.
Not Lucy Lawless.
No, not
Lawless. That would be another great show, actually.
Zena just shows up. The Iron Road is mine.
Gabrielle is actually the true queen. So. All right, enough about my fan fiction.
Enough about my fan fiction. Yeah, so another thing that I was going to say is there are a crap ton of houses that are never even referenced in the show that are referenced almost biblically in the books. You know how in like Genesis and Exodus in the Bible, there are just chapters and chapters of so-and-so begat so-and-so who begat
so-and-so. I must say, I honestly don't. I don't know that.
For the record,
I actually have read the Bible.
Yeah,
so.
I've read every each religion's version. Anyway, for the record, the book I would use more for that is the Silmarillion, which drives me insane.
Well, yeah, but yeah, I mean you're not wrong, but there's a lot of that in there as well, which is good because it's nice to have like the background of your people and stuff, but there's just so much information that nobody's gonna ever remember it.
Yeah, I'm surprised, because you'd think you'd be able to write the books quicker because most of the books are just based on history. Like, just, I don't know, look at history and then you probably know the end of Game of Thrones. minus the dragons, I guess. There's not much dragons in history. But...
Whoa. Which one is Hitler?
pretty sure Ramsay Bolton is Hitler. I think you could probably make an argument. One of the maesters was probably like Goebbels or something.
Oh my god.
Which country is France? Oh, anyway. Like
France? Oh no, sorry. I was about to say the Erie is France, but no, they're like Switzerland. They're like bipartisan. They don't want to do anything.
We could talk a ton just about the differences between them. I think both the show and the books have positives and negatives. We keep hinting at this too. One of the other kind of, I don't know if it's a negative or not, but it's something I learned when The Expanse season one came out. The Expanse is sort of a science fiction Game of Thrones, very sort of deep, a lot of politics. But a lot of it happens behind the scenes versus being front and center, and it makes it a little shorter, and it's a tighter effort overall. And the Expanse television series, what they did is the first season is the first, I'd say, somewhere between 65 to 70% of the first book. They decided not to go with one season per book. And I wonder if that would have helped at least some of Game of Thrones, because, I mean, they've moved around a lot of the storylines. you know, for instance, this season, we finally just had Theon's pops get killed wandering around on a bridge. And
made me laugh so much because it was way cooler than how he died in the book. I mean, it was very similar, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, he just gets it just gets explained in the book, basically, that, like, oh, yeah, Stormy slipped.
And
oh,
he
okay.
slipped and died.
Like a Scooby-Doo, like, episode. Just, whoa!
Or Captain Lance, as we write him. So I don't know. So that's one of the things that I now wonder. If they had kind of split up, especially some of the larger books, i.e., you know, third book of the series is massive with a lot of stuff that happens in it. And I don't know if it would have been better served to split up Storm of Swords a little more than they did. Obviously, they wanted to end with the Red Wedding, which was a good move since, you know, it made a huge splash at the time. And I laughed hysterically at people reacting online because it was wonderful.
It really was. It was great.
I think the Oberyn thing surprised me more a little bit.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to... Oberyn's like one of my favorite characters in the entire
Which is amazing because in the books he is a nothing character.
Yeah, he has no personality.
He has a personality. He just there's not too much focus on him.
Exactly.
So he's just like, doop doo doo, I'm here to save the
shit, my head.
It was nice to see a Kids in the Hall skit finally come to fruition though. Somebody crushing their head.
Too soon. I think a lot of that, a lot of Oberyn's charisma had to do with Pedro Pascal because he is such a character actor. He's like such a.
I think it helped that in real life he was fun, i.e., he loved the fact he was part of the show and he would, you know, show himself with like action figures and hanging out with the fans and just enjoying it. I think he legitimately didn't know he was going to be killed so soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of sad. But hey, he paved the way for Dr. Bashir to appear.
Huh?
Yeah, he was the king of Dorne, wasn't he, or something like that? And then he got his ass kicked?
Yeah,
he was.
Dr. Bashir is in from Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Andrew.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
I don't feel bad.
You know, all this other random crap, and you don't know that. I don't know.
Well, no, he doesn't. Yeah. He's got some blank spots that make me sad.
Gaps in knowledge, as it were.
Ryan also has gaps in his knowledge.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I don't know about like Godzilla's Japanese origins from 1906.
1906. Anyways, back to Game of Thrones. He doesn't know.
I'm sure. And listen, all of the Godzilla fans, you can all email me. I'll be sure to read all of your angry letter.
Good. You'll be hearing from me.
So I actually had a question to pose to everyone. What is, does anyone have a favorite casting choice for specific characters? No, it's fine. First of all, who here has not read the books? Just you, Mike, right?
Yeah, just me.
Okay. Well, then start off with you.
The character... the casting.
He hadn't spoken in so long, he's dying.
The casting that I think nailed... the best for me, anyway, other than Peter Dinklage, because that's way too easy.
Mm-hmm.
Maisie Williams as Arya.
Yeah.
This was her first acting gig. Like, basically, she was like a dancer before this. And just that character has very quickly become my favorite on the show. Like, I absolutely adore her.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
And just seeing the wit she puts into her performance, like, it's so believable. Like, there's one thing in the first season that I love with her where she's learning how to sword fight with the water dancer teacher guy. And she says, and as she's running away from the King's Guard, there's just a line that she says that I love. The teacher says to her, "And what do we say to death? Not today." It's just the way she delivers that. I'm like, yep, I'm following you for the rest of the show. That totally sold me on her. So that other casting that I really liked, Lena Headey as Cersei.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Like, because I knew her from 300 and and Terminator, the Sarah
Connor, Chronicles.
I know that.
The best Terminator thing somebody from this show would star in by a mile.
Too soon.
Which I really enjoyed her on that show, but seeing how much, I don't know, like, how to describe her performance. Like, it's so evil, but not at the same time. Like, I can see why she does the things that she does.
I would have said it was very acty.
It's, I don't know, there's just something that I really like about her. Like, I really like the way she's on the show. I like how her character arc has developed over the course of the show.
She can really convey emotions, like a wide array of emotions.
Shame, most pertinent recently.
Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah.
Well, the fact that she had the balls to do that. I mean, and
that. Well, that was her stunt double.
Oh, yeah, that was a stunt double. Oh, okay. They CG'd her face on top of a model. Oh.
Well,
I wish I could go out on dates like that. Only, I probably wouldn't use my face either. That's a good point.
Oh, God. Okay, what about you, Andrew?
Oh, perfect casting choice. The Mountain. Oh, wait, he was recast like three times.
But each time was great. No,
each time was better than the last.
Well, the last one was the best, I would say. For me, it's got to be the Hound. Rory was amazing as the Hound. We're on a first name basis, by the way. I really, really love that character. That character is like my favorite character in the entire series, pretty much. So,
you know what my favorite line of his was? When they're in that fucking pub and he's like, if you don't stop talking, I'm going to eat every chicken in this fucking place.
Yep, I love it. He just loves chicken. He's a guy after my own heart. He loves chicken.
I know. Doesn't like small talk.
Not at all.
What about you, Ryan?
Ooh, all right, Jimmy. I'm going to go off the board a bit. I'm going to pick three quick ones that don't get the recognition that they should get. One of them does. I'll start with her. Gwendolyn Christie.
I hate you. That was what I was going to pick.
Oh, all right. I'll just stop then. That's fine. I told you I got two others. So, but yeah, another person who, this is one of her first gigs. So anyway, the other two is going to pick Alfie Allen.
Yeah.
Theon Greyjoy. I think he's very underrated considering everything he's kind of had to do. Going from the guy who wanted to be, you know, Robb Stark's bro to being tortured way too much that they probably could, that they probably could have skipped some of those scenes.
Probably could have skipped a lot of those scenes.
Yeah.
I expect
to see Castle torturing people, but not sure I needed that much.
It's so much worse in the book, though. You know that.
I do, but I don't need to necessarily see it all on screen. All right, anyway. And my other one who does not get nearly enough credit, Ian Glenn, Jorah Mormont, who he embodies the character probably more than what I had in my head from when I was reading the books. He does such a good job and brings amazing gravitas to everything.
Khaleesi.
And he doesn't hang out in a brothel for a book, so that's a good start.
I would say he's one of those characters that are totally different in the book and my head. Like, my head actually separates the characters because they are that different.
I don't think he's that different. I think it's experience. I think the experiences are different for fairly obvious reasons, i.e. Book Jorah's kind of creepy.
Oh, he is a creep. And, he is a creepy creep. Brothel, he is fucking a Khaleesi.
No, I know, but like that's... Yeah. That's why I think they leave it out. I don't think they're that far off, at least in terms of worldview and that kind of thing. He's definitely less creepy because they left that out, mostly because they wanted him as a protagonist and not like creepy stalker Ducky from Pretty in Pink guy. If I'm her friend long enough, she'll have to fuck me.
God damn, man.
What? That's the book, Jorah.
Yeah, I know.
And it's terrible. Is
I have a
he belongs like on he's MRA enough. He belongs on Dodd's Facebook page.
The everlasting dumpster fire.
All right. I was going to say, I have an ongoing joke with my friend where we will just have random times, because there's like throughout seasons, there's so many instances of Jorah Mormont just like in a deep, raspy voice going, Khaleesi. And like every once in a while, me and my friend just out of the blue will text each other, Khaleesi. There's like a 2 minute long YouTube video where it's just him saying Khaleesi, and it's the best video ever.
Yeah, that's why we don't text anymore. Oh, sorry.
I was well, like Ryan said before, Gwendolyn Christie, man, like Brienne is hands down one of my top three favorite characters in the show because she's so badass without drawing attention to her femininity that like it's just tops. Like in general, her acting is superb anyways, but like I'm gonna go off the reservation for a second, excuse me for being racist, Don, and reference her work in Star Wars, because she was awesome as Captain Phasma, and she didn't even have to show her fucking face.
Hang on a second.
I'm really glad.
Shut up, Roebuck. Anyway, so
hanging around the show.
Listen, all she got to do in goddamn Star Wars was, instead of, I don't know, taking a bullet, which, by the way, would have been way more badass, she goes like, oh, yeah, I'll help you do the only thing that would save your life, instead of stopping this entire plot right now and then into the dumpster. That is not badass. That's terrible.
She was a presence. She was a leadership role. Anyways,
yeah, 30 seconds before surrendering, like she's, the French in World War II.
I'm hoping they flesh her out in the comics or something.
Yeah, same.
Always bringing up the French, Ryan.
and the other character I was going to say was actually, it's funny. He's not as fleshed out in the books as he is in the show, oddly enough. But I absolutely adore Podrick Payne.
Yeah,
especially cool. In the show. Like,
show is really good.
I think that he got like as much as he deserved in the show, because like in the books, yeah, he's pretty cool, but in the show, it's just like, wow, okay, they made him so much more badass.
I feel like it's Chekhov's gun, though. They keep mentioning his fantastic penis, and we haven't seen it yet. really, ideally, if this was Breaking Bad, they would have to show his penis. They've brought it up enough.
I'm just going to keep going. For book readers, are there any characters they've left out that you felt really bad about? For me, there's two. There's the entire Bloody Murmurs, because they were my favorites, and they're just sadistic, creepy as fuck guys. And then one of my random characters that I really like is Lem Lemoncloak. One, because his name is Lem Lemoncloak. Two, because I just love him. He's a great guy.
How descriptive.
Shut up, Ryan.
I'm trying to think of
one. I would have liked to have seen the Lady Stoneheart stuff translated to the show. The show creators and where it is, since right now she'd be a rotting corpse.
Now,
okay, but still.
Is this what I think it is, where she comes back as like a zombie or something?
No.
Well, she's resurrected in much the same way John was.
Okay.
Oh, spoiler.
And also, what's his fuck?
Dondarrion.
Beric Dondarrion.
Beric Dondarrion.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you guys.
Here's an answer.
Who do you absolutely can't fucking stand?
Andrew Roebuck.
You stole my joke. I was going to say Ryan Berkeley.
Of House Roebuck, the first of his name.
And last.
For me,
that little bitch Ramsay, can we just kill him?
Everybody's going to pick either Ramsay or Joffrey.
No, Joffrey's like king. I would like let Joffrey be king if he would slaughter Ramsay.
Ramsay
is the good fellow of that. Ugh.
The problem with Ramsay, just as a character, like I'm at the point now where I just don't need him in the show. It's not a matter of you're supposed to dislike this character. It's a matter of, at this point, he's just poorly written. There's sadism for the sake of sadism. It serves no purpose at this point, aside from being off-putting.
Yeah, like, that's probably part of the reason.
We've already seen a character be evil for the sake of evil. I mean, that was Joffrey's role. And now you bring in Ramsay, who it just seems like every, you know, few weeks they have to have him do something more horrible just to top himself. And I think it's pointless at this point. We already hate the guy. We already understand, okay, yeah, we know this world is dangerous and a lot of bad things happen. I don't need it beaten over my head.
Yeah.
I don't need to see every single time the Punisher tortures somebody. But for some reason, they feel the need to show every single time Ramsay does something evil, the camera just happens to be on the guy.
Yeah, you know, and why are those dogs, like, not fatter? They just seem to hang out and not do anything.
I know, they get to eat, like, people every day.
People, babies, probably, like, a few cats.
Fat chicks. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Corpses of dire wolves, apparently.
Shit, yep. Man. Okay, well, I'm going to go a little deeper with mine and say, shut up, and say that I honestly, it's bad because I love this character, but I hate him too. High Sparrow.
Because he's in there.
He is amazing. He is, I just don't even know how to describe him. He's just so, like, faithful. Like, he's religious to the point where you don't know if he's in it for himself or for the gods. Like, especially in the show. Like, they flesh him out a lot more, I feel, in the show. Because, especially when, what's her name? Oh, my God. At her funeral. What's the...
Oh, Marcella?
Marcella, yes. At Marcella's funeral. When he comes in, where Jamie's there. And he's explaining what's going on. Yeah. And then the Faith Militant come out and they're just like, you know, don't fuck with us kind of thing, or we'll fuck with you. It's like powerful, I think.
Yeah. There's some interesting theories in the books about that, like from fan theories for that character. But I feel like fan theories can just be a whole topic of its own. So we could hold off on that for a little bit, I guess.
Mm hmm.
And then please never discuss them. Yeah, no. There's too many, and a lot of them have already been disproven. Or...
I think Ryan Merkley is a Targaryen. Let's just talk about that.
Okay,
that doesn't
so
make
how many,
any sense.
How many of us think that Jon is Rhaegar and Lyanna's son?
Well, I'm pretty sure at this point it's true.
Okay. Like, because like he's never Martin has never come out and said it's true. So I think it's true, but. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, Martin's still writing about it, so.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, you'd feel like if that was, like, an important decision, then he would have told them already. But then again, he wouldn't tell us because, like you said, he's still writing the book, so.
Now,
it could very well be true.
Now, and Jon Snow was beamed down as a child from the Starship Enterprise, and.
So, here's my question for you guys. Since, like I said, I haven't read any of the books. One of the characters I don't like on the show, I've only begun to like this character recently. Is Sansa Stark better in the books? Because in the show, she's
yes.
annoying as shit.
Yeah, she. Yeah. I would say she's better in the books.
And I don't dislike Sansa in the show. I think that's. I like Sansa. I think she's all right in the show. But we'll agree.
She goes
disagree.
Through a lot more shit in the show, though. Like, she goes through a lot more.
Yeah,
also,
like, which
also
isn't
part
good.
Of it is,
I don't
part
think
of it
that
is
part
on.
Is good.
Part of it is Andrea from Breaking Bad syndrome that she didn't figure out that Joffrey was evil until after it was apparent to every human alive who has even part of a brain working.
She's a young girl.
Oh,
she doesn't know anything.
Oh, Governor Bad? You mean the guy who keeps human heads in a jar for his own entertainment is evil? Wow.
Yeah,
could have fooled me.
Oh, don't even bring up season 3 of Walking Dead, that garbage heat.
I just did.
I just
what are you going to do about it?
I can't believe it took so long for them to, like, that show, I don't want to get into it, because I've read the comics, I have all the comics, and I'm like, fuck you, so whatever.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyways.
Game of Thrones, yeah.
Game of Thrones, yes. So... I had another topic I wanted to talk about, but I can't remember what it is now. Shit.
What's the best thing the show has done so far?
What do you mean? Like,
well,
edgy? Or
got people into reading books.
True.
Well, yeah. What do you think is the show's biggest impact? I mean, besides it is one of the most watched shows on television right now. It is the most pirated show, and I wouldn't say HBO's okay with it, but they see it as a marketing tool.
It's funny because I actually was reading a quote from one of the it was either one of the producers or someone high up in the production said that they find the piracy a compliment. And I'm like, okay. That's interesting.
It's been good.
How many cedars does this have?
It's been good and bad for them. I mean, obviously, HBO's model is a little different, so it doesn't quite harm them as much. HBO's business model, essentially making money from the cable companies more than the way your standard network show makes its money, which is advertisement, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, the exposure probably kind of helps them. As for what it's done, I actually am going back to, I'm happy that, yeah, it brought a lot of people into books. Obviously, the other kind of sub-product of it has been, there's been a lot of spin-offs and fantasy is back in, which is why I'm hoping The Expanse continues so I can get some more sci-fi on TV again, because that's a dead genre too. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I mean, fantasy was pretty much dead as a doorknob in 2011.
Yeah.
Especially in terms of television. And since then, there's been a lot of spinoffs. Not a lot of good ones, unfortunately. But it's still, people paid attention. And everybody's kind of trying to copy that formula. It's resulted in a lot of books being translated as well lately. Part of that is everybody seems to be out of friggin' ideas.
Like, I think one of the bigger things that just got adapted that's on TV right now and is, I think, was well received. I know a few people that write for some of the RPG books I like it. The Shannara Chronicles or something.
Shannara. The Shannara Chronicles.
Oh, yeah, I've just seen advertisements for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they got some acting on it, it would be good.
I would say one of the, I know, he just been all kinds of shots fired. It's, all the bridges are burning. Anyway, I think one of the best things the show has done, in my eyes, is given Peter Dinklage, like, a chance to have, like, an actual...
He was in Pixels, role. Come on. Oh, God, I mean, why?
Well, here's the problem. Like, in every other form of media, like, little people get really... really sidelined and are pretty much only joke characters. Like, I can't think of another movie or like anything that has a dramatic role or like a role where they're a real person.
Didn't he star in a movie called The Station Agent that was serious, wasn't it?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. It's not it's not widely seen, though, is what I mean. Like,
yeah, like I didn't expect the performance to come out of him like it does. Like, literally, like, he may be a small person, but in every scene, he towers over everybody he's with. And it kind of surprised me just how good an actor he is when I look at his performance in the video game Destiny before he was scrubbed from it. Why didn't we get Game of Thrones Dinklage? Why did we get Bored I'm Phoning This In Dinklage?
He's not a voice actor. I mean, that's...
But acting voice act- is acting, though.
No, it's not. Voice acting is much harder than people give it credit for. It drives me insane when people say stuff like that. You have to convey every emotion just through your voice. You can't move and use any type of expression. So basically, you're pared down to one sense, and that's all you have to use. And boy, are we getting off topic.
Yeah, it's like when we're podcasting, you have to feel the hatred towards me that emanates from Ryan's language.
Feel the hate flow.
Yes, I obviously hate you.
Emperor Merkley.
One thing that I literally just thought of that is only going to be a problem for me and people like me because I'm an idiot and I'm kind of obsessive compulsive about this kind of stuff. But they change names in the books, in the show from the books. Two examples come to mind for me.
Robert or whatever?
Yara Greyjoy is Asha Greyjoy in the books, but they thought that Asha was too close to Asha, the wildling, so they changed it to Yara, which I'm like, okay, I fine, sure. I mean, I guess Americans are kind of dumb. I'm joking. I love all you Americans out there.
And I'm the one that gets the shots fired.
There's also in one of the newer episodes, when we're introduced to childhood Hodor, his name in the book is Walder, not Willis.
Oh, see, because I was confused at that point. So, I was like, oh, for some reason, I thought your name was Walder. Why are you Willis
now? I'm so confused. I'm like, why would they change
that? What you talking about, Willis Hodor?
And you know what? You know what I was thinking? Is the fact that there's so many Walders in the show because of Walder Frey, because he named all his children Walder after him.
Well, yeah, so everybody wants to play a rousing game of Where's Walder after the series ends.
I mean, he's probably going to be dead. Let's face it. I'm pretty sure there's just going to be a dragon that flies across there and goes, oh, hey, it's the Twin Towers allegory. Dragons are like the planes. Maybe.
Wow.
I've got nothing.
Okay.
It could happen. I don't know.
You went a long way to make a truly terrible reference. That's bad.
Is it a reference? It was a thing that could happen.
Who else is kind of hoping that Dario Naharis was going to have blue hair and like a blonde mustache and golden teeth? Come on! That would have been amazing!
Alright, so...
I know that
hey Dawn, where's that cricket noise again?
Shut up!
Moving forward, what about some of the more controversial aspects of the show? One of the things the show gets criticized for a lot is its portrayal of sex, violence, and there's been several scenes. There was the rape scene, which got a lot of people
angry. One?
Well, yeah, it's not good when you have to ask the question, which one?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of those.
I think the possibly the worst of the batch was Cersei Jaime, because at that point Jaime was being redeemed in the show, and the books have had the advantage of you were able to tell what Cersei was thinking and that sort of thing, whereas the show they didn't. And not vocalizing things or making things clear, I think, really made it a lot more problematic.
Oh, okay. To be fair, in the book, when you read it in the book, it is a rape still in the book.
It still is. I'm not trying to say it's not.
Okay.
I'm just saying when you're trying to redeem a character and have him as a good or redeemable character, to me, it was a huge misstep. It just, I don't know. It left a bad taste in my mouth. I don't feel like anybody really defended or described the decision-making process very well there. And it seems like, I'm not sure if the solution is to not have the scene at all. I don't know if that's going too far. I guess, I don't know. Did we necessarily need it, at least in terms of the show? Would be kind of a side question, I guess.
Yeah.
And as for the others, I mean, I went over Ramsay already. Like, how much more can you have the guy do? We know he's evil. Like, come on.
In the books, we didn't get that terrifying scene after they're married, because that doesn't happen in the books.
Well, it happens to another character entirely.
Yeah,
it happens to
another different character.
Not Sansa.
I would argue that it's even worse. Actually worse.
Yeah, there's the sequence of making Theon watch because he thinks it's essentially his sister,
think it's supposed to be an Arya lookalike.
Yeah.
And
Jesus
then
Christ.
Yeah.
In the books they make him participate, which is really bad.
Which is terrifying. Yeah, like he quote unquote warms her up and then Ramsay rapes her.
Yes, that's a thing that happens in the books and it's awful.
It's pretty
funny. Which is why I did not understand when any website was trying to play it out like the show was doing something the books wasn't.
Yeah.
Because people seem to lessen the effect of that particular scene in the books by it not happening to a main character. It's really bad both ways.
There's that, and as much as I hate to say it, I think it says some pretty negative things about our society that essentially it was visually seeing it that prompted people to become upset, too.
Yeah,
we should know, period, that rape is a horrific act and it shouldn't matter who it happened to. But the fact we saw it and it was one of the main characters was what prompted people. And I think that says some pretty negative things about us as a whole.
Yeah.
But obviously that's a discussion for, another show, another time. But yeah, I mean, I think at the heart, though, I mean, what I'm getting at is the fact that it's tough to defend some of these decisions. I mean,
no, you're right.
Know, they've shown time and time again that Westeros is a dangerous place. It's rough on women and men, but they've really beaten down that point, particularly on female characters, which that's not a good thing.
I mean, there was a couple seasons ago when the actress who plays Daenerys, Emily Clark, was like, "I'm not doing any more nude scenes. Like you." Yeah. I don't need to do any more of that. Because it got to the point where there were scenes that it was entirely unnecessary for there to be nudity, where it kind of takes away from the impact of the story itself. Like, people are smart enough to have development in characters and have intelligent discussions without having a pair of boobies around.
Which I actually did kind of notice that in actually the most recent episode, without spoiling anything. I'm like, wow, they didn't show her boobs for a change. That's different.
Well, this season so far, they've kind of gotten away from it, which is nice.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, whether it's because they've moved away from the books, whether it's because they've started paying attention to some of the criticism, I don't know. But yeah, all of a sudden, there seems to be less nudity. The violence towards women is still an issue, but it's better than it was. This is not a discussion I want to get into on this show with, you know, in this format, but to be, you know, I'm not a fan of, I don't like using violence against women just as a crutch to have, to show danger. It shouldn't be used, period.
Yeah.
And it's been overused on the show, unfortunately. I don't think there's defense for that. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I like it more when I'm all quippy and I don't have to talk about horrible, serious things
shit,
that need
yeah.
changing, but that's one. I mean, I'm not... Again, this is not a topic for this show, but I'm not saying you can't have it and can't have it in your story. I'm saying you can't and should not use it as a crutch, I guess. Like, that's the difference to me, is using it, the old term, the comic book term, is refrigerating, and that is in relation to Green Lantern, where they essentially, you know, give Kyle Rayner a girlfriend just so she can be killed horribly and they can spur on the plot.
Yeah.
They didn't bother making her a character. They just kind of killed her off just to do stuff. So that's a problematic example. And Game of Thrones has done that before, too, unfortunately.
I don't think anything... Well, I don't think anything that's been very like popular isn't guilty of that at some point. But that I have a feeling that's something to do with like time constraints and stuff like that for some things. But like definitely for other things, like in the written format, there's really no excuse for that.
I think, yeah, and I think it can be mitigated. I mean, one of my favorite movies last year was a film that did not state or show the violence against women, but it was clearly there. And, you know, that's obviously Fury Road, where you knew that these women had seen some shit and been through some stuff, but at least we didn't have to see it. Mm. And the film worked even without those sequences. And I feel like the writing and the characterization in both the books and the show is good enough. We probably could have gotten things across without seeing it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. It's on one hand, like I don't mind it to an extent because it is somewhat necessary. Not to the extent that they do it, but it is for shock value. Because I don't have a problem with them using it for that. Because I'm not gonna lie, like it does help get people invested in the scene to actually see it happen, but there is a limit, so I agree with that.
So I guess to kind of lighten things up a little bit as we begin to wrap things up on this show, which didn't go in the direction that I wanted it to, but that's a good thing, because I like the conversation this has actually spurned. And
what direction did you want it to go?
I don't.
I can put on my fedora, I guess.
And tip your hat. I guess one of the things I want to talk about is because any show spawns an incredible range of merch. Mm-hmm. And one of the really neat things that I like about this, and this is more towards me and kind of Tiffany, is now they have a role-playing game based in this. And it turns out the first edition of the Game of Thrones role-playing game came out in the early 2000s. I had no idea.
Yep.
And it was done by a Canadian company, surprisingly enough, Guardians of Order, which is unfortunately no longer around. But now Green Ronin has picked up the license, and they've got books on the Night's Watch, books on Westeros itself. Although it turns out some of the stuff in the Night's Watch is not actually canon. So not everything in there is...
You can't really blame them considering it's taken so long for the books to be written. So,
but yeah, I mean, I've seen one of the things that I've also seen from merch pop up. This is there's so many Funko things, with, like so many vinyl figures.
Oh my god!
Yeah, those are pretty cool. I personally, as far as merch goes, I own a bunch of mugs. Like I really love.
Oh
the
my
mugs
god! Me too.
I actually have them as well. Yeah.
Yeah, they're really cool. Like the mugs with all the different houses on them.
Yeah, no, that's what I also have the coaster sets and the fridge magnet sets of the houses as well too. I like all those. There's been a good amount of merch. The one area that they've kind of faltered in has been gaming. Video games. The board games are actually
really
solid
good.
As well too. Yeah,
really
the
good.
Video games. The best video game so far is the absolutely brilliant A Song of Ice and Fire mod for Crusader Kings 2.
I've never heard of this. Tell me more.
It's phenomenal. Uh-huh. It's Crusader Kings is an insanely deep sort of. World strategy game with a lot of diplomacy, that sort of thing. The mod allows you to play through as a house or as a group, and events actually happen at roughly the same rate or point they would in the books. And so you can actually literally play through the books with the same events. So if you're playing the Lannisters, Joffrey's going to bite it. You can turn on and off events and that kind of thing. It's fairly robust for the So, yeah, that's a really good one. It's super deep, super long.
That's really cool. The Telltale game isn't bad.
It's not solid, but it's very...
It's not the best Telltale game, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. And it's also... it's one of the Telltale games, so I like them, and so I'm not trying to knock them when I say this, but it's unfortunately true. If you've played one of them, you know what to expect.
I would say that is true, but I think that with The Walking Dead Season 2, they have stepped it up as far as branching possibilities going and playing style.
They have. Game of Thrones was very safe.
They played it very safe.
The best one in terms of gameplay and variation, that kind of thing, is still Fables. But yeah, The Walking Dead ones have improved quite a bit. It's actually better than Walking Dead Season 3, so, you know.
Well, anything's better than Walking Dead Season 3.
Now,
just looked at a dumpster fire. It was really good.
Facebook page.
Yeah, pretty much all the time. One of the other things that I myself have gotten for this, like I said, I've got the role playing games. I've actually got sent probably the coolest press kit I've ever gotten in a long time. HBO Canada sent me a Dragon S'mores emergency preparedness kit.
What?
Yeah, and it was this huge box with with season 5 in it. It also came with all the ingredients for s'mores and a Drogon vinyl pop figure. And it was like in case of dragons break glass sort of thing, which I thought that was tremendously neat.
Andrew, did you enjoy your pack from HBO Canada?
Oh, I loved it
so
much.
Yeah, I know. I sure did.
Wow.
Anyway... one of the things I'm hoping to get next, I'm actually doing an exchange right now on Reddit for Game of Thrones. I'm actually really hoping to get some of the house banners. Nice. One of the things I've really noticed about the show, there's a lot of really nice decorative items, a lot of useful stuff. As you guys were mentioning, mugs and stuff. I see tons of accessories. Like I see Hand of the King pins. I see stuff for... The Khaleesi's jewelry, one really unusual piece of merch, and I don't even know whether you can call it merch, really, is there's actually a dictionary and a speaking guide to Dothraki with over 3,000 words. And a lot of it has actually gone unspoken on the show just because I haven't found a reason to use this, but I actually hired a linguist to make it up.
It is known.
So you can literally converse in Dothraki. I'm actually really hoping I get this book, actually.
I should probably pick that up just so I can talk both Klingon and Dothraki at work.
which one of the neat things that I found out, there's a scene with Jorah towards, I think it's the end of the second season, where he's giving a speech to someone in Dothraki, and they just let him ad-lib it. Because he knew the language that well. And that really, really impresses me, that I've never, outside of Klingon, I'm trying to think of other fictional languages that exist. I can really only think of those. Klingon, Dothraki, Elvish, and
all that stuff.
I can't think of any others.
Robuckianese, which is a language I briefly tried to create.
Robuck as a language involves lots of drinking.
I don't drink anymore.
There's also a wide variety of swords and weapon replicas from this show. The one I'm hoping to get at some point, because me and Blair really like the character, Needle, which is Arya Stark's sword. Nice. They also have Oathbreaker, which is, I think, Jaime Lannister's sword now. I forget what Ned Stark's is called.
Ice.
In the ground.
Yeah. They also have replicas of Jon Snow.
Technically, Ned's sword is now Oathkeeper and Widow's. What is it? Fuck. Joffrey's sword before he died.
Oh, yeah.
Heart Eater or something like that?
Probably something messed up that you're just like, what the hell?
Yeah.
But I believe it was named If Only I Chewed My Food Better. Oh.
But yeah, like, there's a really wide variety of merch. There's also expensive replicas of the dragon eggs, which I think from HBO are something like $300-$400.
Yeah, I've seen them before. They show up at cons a lot around here.
They're gorgeous looking.
You can actually get really nice. There are people that have made their own that look really good, almost as good too, and you know, it's a lot cheaper. So
what are they made out of? Like,
I don't know.
Dragon scale?
I've also seen a shit ton of replica armor. I've seen some really awesome Brienne of Tarth cosplayers stuff show up. Like, her armor is one of the things that I found out while I was kind of doing research for the show. If you look at her armor, it has lines on it to draw your attention away from the fact that she's a woman, to make her look more boxy, to make her look tougher, which I found that was actually kind of neat.
That was interesting.
I'm trying to think of other pieces for this. Turns out there's a Game of Thrones beer line.
Oh, yeah! Yes. Oh, yeah. Man, I have had way too much of that once. The Three-Eyed Raven. I had, like, a full bottle of the Three-Eyed Raven, which is very big. And then I forced my roommates to all watch the Three-Eyed Raven scene from season 4.
Now, what does the Three-Eyed Raven beer taste like?
Oh, it's good. It tastes good. I don't remember the taste. It was good, though. It was tasty.
I'm not a beer person, but I would be willing to try some of these just because I don't know. I kind of feel like I should at least have one beer at some point in my life that I like, because everything else I've tasted has been terrible. I'm trying to think of other really cool pieces of merch I've seen. Obviously, there's a ton of action figures. There's a lot of premium format stuff. And some other interesting things that I've never quite... Some stuff I never would have expected. There are small replicas scaled for action figures of the Iron Throne, and I've seen Stan Lee, Ron Burgundy, RoboCop.
After it came out, I got it, and I put Optimus Prime in it, which would actually be good. I also put a Punisher figure in it, which would be horrific. / awesome for me, but anyway.
Another one I saw, speaking of the Three-Eyed Raven, I saw really, I think it's a paperweight. For that, I've seen Hand of the King pin bottle openers. I've seen, obviously, shot glasses. I've seen drinking horns, but I don't see those pop up as often. One thing I haven't seen, I'm quite sure that it must exist. I haven't seen a replica Jon Snow cloak yet, though. But I imagine that's probably like a cosplayer thing anyway, as opposed to a piece of regular merch you can wear.
There's lots of holes in it after last season.
Trying to think if there's anything that I've missed. Like I said, there's card games, board games, the role play stuff, the video games. And obviously, like I said, tons of just other stuff you can buy. So, like, go to Amazon, check the stuff out. I think ThinkGeek has some exclusive stuff.
ThinkGeek does have some awesome exclusive Game of Thrones stuff. It's all officially licensed, too.
One fun piece I would love to get, just because I really like the idea. There's a Dragon's Egg cookie jar.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And surprisingly cheap. I think it's like $20 or something like that. But anyway, so I guess, guys, final closing thoughts on the Game of Thrones franchise. Where do you want it to go next? And favorite episode so far, or moment?
So for me, I want it to finish, is what I'm hoping.
Wow, you stole my pick.
I'm really, really hoping that it goes to the end. We get to the end. Like, I'm really hoping Martin finishes the books. As far as where it goes, I have a few ideas, but nothing concrete, so I don't want to be wrong. But anyways, I'm really hoping for that. And as far as favorite episode goes, I still probably have to say the end of season... I think it was like episode 8 or 9 where Oberyn fights the mountain.
Yeah.
I think that is one of my favorite episodes. Because it's just such a really tense scene, and you see the heartbreak on everyone's faces, and yeah. Oh, all the reaction videos from that was, like, my favorite thing ever.
I'm going to say, for me, first off, my favorite moment is seeing Joffrey choke and die. That was pretty awesome. So I'm going to say the entire episode, you know, the entire Purple Wedding was just awesome. And I'm hoping we find out very soon the origins of John's birth, because I don't think it's what everyone thinks it is in the show. That's what I'm looking forward to, is figuring out if he's a Targaryen.
He's actually the son of Talia al Ghul and Bruce Wayne.
It's all about Lazarus Pit stuff. That's how he, yeah.
Oh no, Lazarus Pits, keep them away.
I'd say for
especially
myself,
the arrow Lazarus Pits.
I'd say for myself, favorite moment, there's a point where Tyrion is yelling at Joffrey, and he's like, "You can't say that to the king." He's like,
"Oh my god, yes. Like,
yeah, I just did, and you're gonna fucking listen to me." Love that part. But my favorite moment is what Andrew just mentioned, where Oberyn dies by the mountain. And where his head literally explodes like a grape.
Yeah.
Me and Blair were like, oh my god! Mm-hmm. I mean, like, literally, that's something I watch Walking Dead, and I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, that just blew Walking Dead out of the water. And there is a video on YouTube where they actually say, yeah, considering this guy's size and his actual strength, because he's like, the guy who plays the mountain is an actual strongman competitor. Realistically, he could do that to you. So, not one with whom to fuck. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, ultimately from the series, one thing I'm glad it did, it got me to like fantasy again, because Lord of the Rings, the Hobbit movies burned me out. And yeah. I didn't like fantasy for a long time. I liked Lord of the Rings, but it left me wanting more. The D&D movie soured me on fantasy for years upon years. And when I was growing up, the only fantasy book I ever read, or the series I ever read, was Anne McCaffrey's Dragon Riders of Pern. And I always had this really bad impression of fantasy. And that's why I didn't get into this show for so long, is because I'm thinking, oh, it's going to suck. It's all swords and sandals. It's going to blow. And when Blair got into it, I'm thinking, okay, if she likes it, that's the opening that I need. Let's see what it's like. And I'm glad it got me to, like, the genre again. I mean, I'm reading D&D stuff now with a new open mind. And I also like the fact that it doesn't shove the mysticism of magic in your face. It's there. It's a powerful force in the Game of Thrones world. But you don't need to see people randomly throwing fireballs every 5 minutes. If there's magic, it's powerful. Don't fuck with it.
Ryu would be a good character. No, I'm sorry.
but yeah, I mean, I'm glad Game of Thrones made me love... It made me love fantasy again, and I didn't expect the show to actually do that for me. And then, Ryan, I guess you, man.
Woohoo! Favorite scene is the prison fight where the Punisher kills all of the inmates.
Oh my god,
that was beautiful. Hey, somebody for some reason won't let me do a goddamn show on the season two of Daredevil. Anyway,
it's me.
Yeah, right. So, as for what I want, I'm just gonna agree with Andrew. I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it was because. Full disclosure, I started writing the Just the Facts, and I realized I've been reading this series for 16 years now. Or 16. Whoa, let's try that again. 18 years. Yeah, so half my life. So half my life, and so I think I'm annoyed about that. It also made me start to think about all of the stuff I've read and started since then, which has progressed far more rapidly. And for Christ's sake, Trent Reznor's released more albums in that time. What the hell? So anyway, I just wanted to finish. As for favorite moments of stuff, I still really enjoyed watching people's reactions to the Red Wedding. So second last episode of season three, although sort of shout out to the finale, which of course actually featured the scene from the book with Rob Snow's head removed and being replaced by his direwolves. And people's reaction to that, which was also over the top and enjoyable.
How dare you? You just said Rob Snow.
Oh, did I? Shit. Rob Stark. Oops.
Rob Snow.
Hey, there's already two Snows on the show.
Yeah.
It's no big deal.
If they would just if they would just add Snow of Legendary 12 Inches of Snow album fame.
What?
Oh, man, I forgot I'm podcasting with children. God damn it.
Damn.
So anyway, that's going to do it for this edition of the This Week in Geek Topic Show. I'm very glad we actually got a chance to actually talk about Game of Thrones. We'll obviously revisit this topic when the show ends in a couple of years.
Yeah, we'll do Daredevil Season 2 6 years from now.
I promise I make the solemn thing now. If you recommend the show, I'll promise to check it out within 6 months. So I guess I'm doing The Expanse during the summer. So anyway, like I said, big thanks to everybody for coming out to the show. Ryan, we will talk Daredevil and Punisher because I really do want to talk about those specific characters, actually. Andrew, like I said, will be joining me on Terrible Warriors in June for Sailor Moon, though we record in like a week or two.
Yeah.
And then Tiffany will be joining us for Terrible Warriors. Once again, she'll be DMing Star Wars, Embers of the Jedi, and potentially a Game of Thrones long-form game. So maybe we'll get all... You know what? Maybe we could do this group right here.
Hell yes.
As the Game of Thrones group. So
yes.
More information
possibly one
on
of my
later.
Other friends.
So yeah, we got exciting things coming up. So until next time for This Week in Geek.
She has to join us if she can come up with some more really good event comics, because we're having some trouble with that.
All right then, so we have been...
Andrew Roebuck.
You sound like that character from Homestar Runner. I've been Tiffany Fonsolo Compton from thenerdhearth.com.
Ryan the Uneven Flow.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, and the night is dark and full of terrors.
And dragons.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh, freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Whoa, my god, whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.